Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Amen? That's what I'm standing on. I told this joke last night. Somebody sent me. I only got one this week. So what do you call it when somebody attaches a watch to their belt? Weight Watchers. That's what somebody said last night. I said, did you make that up? Yeah. So did they make that up or is that a joke? I thought that was pretty good. That's not the answer, though. The answer is a waste of time. Okay. I know. People got to send those things to me, though. I think it's fun to laugh, you know? That's important. All right. We've been talking about the heart and what the heart is. We started off the first of the year, what your heart is centering your life around. So that's where your heart is. What you center your life around, that's where your heart is. So God says, I want you to love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The more I understand how much God loves me, then now I'm free to love people. See that? See, now I start to learn how much He values me. That's what worship, the word worship comes from the word worth. So if God is worth everything to me, then now I'm going to worship Him and give Him because He's worth everything to me. He's my creator. He's my source. So when I'm worshiping Him, now my worth comes up. And see, when you understand your value, you begin to value other people. See, low self-esteem is where all crime and all addiction and all this wickedness and negativity comes from. A low self-esteem. Low value. The word esteem means value. A low value. But now when I get the truth, worship Him in spirit and truth, now I get the truth about who I am. My value comes up. I'm not going to participate in all that stuff outside of His will. I don't want to get into that. I want to be where God wants me to be. Amen? Because I start to see how much I'm valued. I'm not just going to sleep with anything. Huh? I'm not going to just put anything in my body. I'm not going to smoke this and smoke. No, because my body's valuable. You see that? I'm the temple of God. I'm the temple. I'm not just going to douse myself with what I get belligerent. You see that? I'm what God is in me. When you begin to understand that, it changes how you treat people. Make sense? So the heart is what you center your life around. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. Listen to me. This is huge. I love that verse we've been talking about. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So the word deferred means to comply with another's opinion. So when I'm in a complying or in agreement with another's opinion other than God's, it makes my heart sick. And the word sick encompasses all of the curse, everything the curse offers. Destruction, addiction, you know, all that. You're in contradiction with God. See that? And that's how we're born into this world. We're born into this world physically in contradiction with God, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Those are all out of sync with God because of the sin that we're born in. But now when we're born again, okay, remember Visions 4:23 and 24? We're created in righteousness. Remember, first, we were created in sin, because it says, David said, from your mother's womb I was conceived in sin and brought forth in iniquity. So we're born in sin, so that's why we need to be born again spiritually. So here's the idea. We're born again spiritually. We're created in righteousness. You're righteous if you're born again. In other words, when God sees you, he sees you as being holy. He sees you the same way he looks at Jesus. When you understand that, you don't want to be outside his will. You want to do everything you can to be a part of his will. So that's how he created you. When he sees you, he sees righteousness. And so what happens is now we still sin in our thinking and our bodies, but here's the idea. God's calling us to line our bodies and our thinking up with what's established in our spirit, because you're a spiritual being, remember? You're not a human being having a spiritual experience. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. So God's calling you to line all. Remember, the word lost means out of alignment, out of position. God's word calls you to line up with what's taking place in your life spiritually. So stay with me. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it's the tree of life. The word desire is God's will. When God's will is fulfilled, now I'm eating from the tree of life. You see that? And that goes all the way back to the garden. Paradise. See this? Paradise. Now, give me Revelations 22, verse 1 and 2. I want you to catch this before we... I'm just getting started, so... And he showed me a pure river of life. You know what? It's really the river of life. Jesus said in John chapter 7, he said, let him who thirsts come to me and drink. For he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. You see, living water. You see, as you grow and you mature, it's getting in you. And when you're in a difficult place, he'll bring some living water to give you the solution to get out of it and help you get out of it. Living water. You see that? That's what he's talking about. In your heart. When your heart is centered around him, that's what he's giving you. Living water. Now watch this. Proceeding. Listen. Pure river of water, like clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb, meaning Jesus. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the what?
Tree of life.
Tree of life. Which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. You see, what happens is, this is paradise restored. This is when Jesus comes back, and now all of earth is his kingdom. And where everyone who's born again is now living on earth together. Paradise restored. Tree of life. It starts now. You see? Listen to me. See, now you're going to have a celestial body one day. Remember when Jesus came back, he walked through the walls and he ate fish with the disciples. That's the way it is. We're going to be walking through walls. And we're going to know each other. Yeah, we might even eat some fish. But are you with me? You're going to still eat? But it's all going to be the earth. On earth. This is going to happen. This is when you go to a funeral. If that person went to heaven, you're going to see them.
Amen.
You see that? They're going to be around the tree of life.
Yeah.
But you see, when, here, now watch this. This is what God's word is doing. It says in Psalms 107, verse 20, He sent His word. He sent His word to heal us. See, the tree of life brings healing in your life. We all need healing. And He says, and to deliver you from destruction. Destruction. He sends His word to deliver you from destruction. Destruction tears down. Construction builds up. So when you get His word, it begins to construct you and build you up to what He originally created you for. Paradise restored. The tree of life. Are you listening to me? That's the word. And when you come in here, you're being prophesied over. The word is calling you.
Amen.
Come up. Yes. Come on up here. Yes. Tap into the tree of life. The rivers of living water are going to come out of you. Yes. For your children, your grandchildren. You see that? For the people who matter the most, you're going to be speaking into their lives life that's going to break off all those patterns that try to hold them back and keep them from being who they were created to be. Am I making sense? You see, this is what's going on. This is going on everywhere. We don't want to be just churchgoers. We want to be disciples. And God is calling us. That's righteousness. He's calling you to line up. Line up with His word and His will and His way. And when you're in it, life. Are you with me? Life takes place. I'm going to preach in a minute. Are you getting this? I just get so stirred up with this. Because this is really what's going on. Are you listening to me? When you neglect this, that you're destroying your own life. You're just, when you're ignorant of it, that's why it says if they were ignorant of God's righteousness, you just begin to destroy your own life. You see that? It's not God. God's not going to punish you. All the sin's been dealt with. Remember, you don't sin when you're righteous. 1 John 3:9, you don't sin. Your spirit can't sin. Because if it could, you'd be separated from God again. That's not the way God works. When you're born again, you're with Him forever. It's just you got to get your mind and your body in line with what He's trying to call you to.
Amen.
He's calling you to that, see? You got people on death row still being called to line it up. I've talked to people on death row. I've been in prisons all over Ohio. They were born again. They just never listened. They were unteachable. There they are. God is still calling them.
Amen.
You see this?
Yes.
When we understand this, it changes our life. That's why I'm trying to help you see this. When we understand this, our perspective on everything changes. Life is more fulfilling. Now, go with me today. We're going to talk about, we've been talking about righteousness and understanding our righteousness. Remember, righteousness is what you cover your heart with for protection. And in Ephesians 6. Now look, so we're going to go to Proverbs 1:5, and we're gonna get moving here. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. So now, what I want to talk about today, I've been talking about how it's so important that we be teachable. Because when we're not teachable, we're missing out on life. And now listen to this. In this verse, now listen to this on righteousness. This is the Hebrew meaning for righteousness. See, when we grow and understand our righteousness, it helps us change. This is the Hebrew. This is the word, T-Z-E-D-E-Q. Now you try pronounce it. I'm not even going to try. Here's now this is the Hebrew, M-I-S-H-P-A-T. Mishpat. That's the word for righteousness. Now listen to this. This is what it means. The righteous are willing to disadvantage themselves to advantage the community. It's going to feel like a disadvantage sometimes, but it's worth everything you do and everything you invest. Now listen, Here's the wicked. The wicked are willing to disadvantage the community to advantage themselves. You see? That's what a selfish life does. It's always about them, not concerned with others. Now look at this proverb. A wise man will hear and increase learning. Now this word wise, it means L-E-Q-A-H. It means extensive study. It's going to take you and I extensively studying what God is saying. You see that? What's he saying to me? Extensively studying. We're going to have to be teachable. Because if we're not teachable, I know people have come to church in this church. I've been here 20 years, going on 20 years. Been coming here the whole time. Some teach, and they're not teachable. Still have the same thing, same problem, going over and over. When you're teachable, things are going to change. Now, when we're wise, we're teachable. We're willing to be taught. Now, go with me to Proverbs 12, 21. Well, Proverbs 12, 1. I'm sorry, Tim. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is what? You said it. God said it. That's what it is. I wouldn't even let my children say that word. You know, I hated that word. But you know, he's saying when you're not willing to be taught or corrected, that it's stupid. Now, Solomon wrote this, and Solomon was one of the wisest men on earth. He is. He's the wisest man other than Jesus. Jesus is wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1, it says, Jesus is our wisdom, but we are of him who became for us the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, the redemption of God. As it is written, let him who glories, glory in this. So we're to glory in the fact that he's our wisdom. When we're following him, we're following wisdom. And God created the earth with his word and his wisdom. And when we receive that, and it starts putting our life together psychologically, sociably, spiritually, and physically. He calls that into alignment as you hear the word of God. You see that? He calls you to a higher standard. Now, when Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, Solomon asked, God said, you can ask me for anything. And God asked, and Solomon asked for wisdom. He said, I want wisdom. He says, because this is God. He says, because you didn't ask for the life of your enemies, and you didn't ask for riches or long life, I'm going to give you riches, long life, honor, and wisdom. I'm going to give you wisdom because that's what wisdom does. It gives you everything you need to fulfill his will in life. See that? And Solomon was one of the wisest men on earth. Now, he wrote the book of Proverbs. And so there's a lot of wisdom in there. Everyone here today is gifted. Every one of you are gifted. Only God's wisdom will bring that gift to manifestation. You need God's wisdom to serve that gift that God's given you. And see, when you're miserable, a lot of times it's because you don't understand God's wisdom and you're not serving your gift. You have something, but it's not being used. You see, when you use your gift, you help other people. You serve other people with your gift, and it helps other people. You see that? But when you're neglecting that and you say, I'm not going to church. I don't need to go to church. I can watch online. No. Your gifting is developed in the body of Christ. And God's wisdom is used to help you and assist you to use your gift. I don't care how high you can jump. I don't care how fast you can run. I don't care how many people you lay your hands on and people get healed. If you're not in the body of Christ and connected and getting his wisdom, your gift will lay dormant. It won't be used. When you're connected to God and His body, the church, He said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that's what He's talking about. He wants you to use your gift to assist and help other people. Amen? Amen. Now, everyone's gifted. To be a disciple, you have to be teachable. You have to be teachable. The word disciple, remember? Learner. Learner. Jesus preached to the masses. 5,000, 7,000, 12 followed Him. See that? They were learners. And that's what we're supposed to be, learners. Constantly learning. Consistently. We have to be teachable. Now, you're mature when you begin to learn and grow. In Deuteronomy 5:9, it says that God visits the iniquities of the fathers as far back as 3 and 4 generations. If you have areas of your life that are reoccurring, destructive, reoccurring habits that keep you down and depressed and discouraged, it's because there's a pattern in your life that maybe was passed on from your father. It comes from the father, the seed, because he carries the seed. And so, well, you don't even know. You say, well, I don't even know my father. Well, you have ways like him. See that? Some of you, if you don't understand why you just keep beating your head and there's some, it's because you're not getting the wisdom you need because you're acting like your father. See that? In Ecclesiastes 5:7, it says, our fathers sin, but we bear their iniquities. And iniquity is outside of God's character. A bent towards destruction. And righteousness means equity in character and action. So an inequity is outside of God's character. See that? All right. So I have to be teachable in order to get into that equity. See that? All right. So, you've heard that saying, like father, like son. And you know, you could be like father, like daughter. Because the father's created to be the leader. Not the dictator, but the leader. And the seed comes from them. Are we making sense?
Yep.
All right. It's a big responsibility to be a father. Big deal. It's big stuff. There's enough daddies around, right? Got to be a father. You're going to be responsible. You're going to be responsible and you're going to do God's will. Right? And you're going to pass on some living water to those children. It's going to help them stay connected to the tree of life until we're all together one day. Oh, gosh, that helps me. Whew. I get excited just talking about it. All right, hold on. Now, see, some people, they're willing, they can teach sports. They're willing to learn about sports, but they're not willing to learn about anything else because they're not teachable. They're willing to learn about, you know, hobbies and all these other things, but they're not willing to really learn about marriage and relationships and what it takes to have a healthy. You can't just treat people the way you want to. You can't just treat your body the way you want to. See? Because there's ramifications for all that. But when you begin to do it His way, my goodness, life starts to make sense. The dots come together. It really, you begin to be whole and well. Now look at this. So, for us to grow and advance God's kingdom, we're going to have to be teachable. Now, humility is the sign of a teachable spirit. So He gives grace to the humble. That's the one who's dependent on God. I'm dependent on God. God, I need your help. I just don't know how to raise these kids. I need your help how to love my wife. I need your help how to, with this boss at work. I need your help. Help me, God. And He will impart wisdom in you, and He will help you. You see? That's because He wants you dependent on Him. Amen. And when you're dependent on Him, humble, the word humble comes from the word humus. And the word humus means earthy. Earthy means real. Real. So authentic. So I'm becoming authentic as I'm going to God. I'm becoming the authentic person He created me to be, because I'm going to the author and the finisher of my faith and my life. Amen. He's the author of my life. I'm becoming authentic because I'm going to the author. And now I'm being authorized. Amen. Now I'm authorized and I have authority over the things that used to control me. They no longer control me because God's in charge. Yeah. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Authentic, author, authorized, authority. That all has to do with humility. Yeah. Humility. So I told you, humility, talked about that. That's just a positive. This is a teachable spirit when you're humble. Number two, you'll be gracious. Gracious. Proverbs 9:8. Can you give me that, Tim? Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. You see, people who are wise, they like it when people tell them the truth. It's like refreshing. It says in 1 Corinthians 13:7, love rejoices in the truth. Woohoo! Happy! Tell me some more! Right? When I get the truth, now it sets me free to be me. See that? Now, gracious. That's what you are. You're gracious to hear when somebody says something true. Number three, we want to seek wise counsel. Remember when I was single for in this church, pastoring this church for 11 years, I was going to a therapist on a regular basis. Every month I would go talk to a therapist. And I wanted to keep myself healthy for you all. And so, because you know, you go through stuff. You know, I was reading these statistics how pastors want out of the ministry, and pastors are going, you know, they won't even give pastors life insurance. A lot of them. Because they're high risk. Pastors go through a lot. Wise counsel really helps you. So, wise counsel. You don't want to receive counsel that doesn't come from God's Word. See that? You can't just tell. You can't just listen to anybody. Then you start to fellowshipping with a wrong opinion, and your heart gets sick. So you want to hear what God's saying, and then you become healthy. And then somebody else, you can help somebody else. Now, so I want you to ask yourself, I want you to leave with this question in your mind today. Am I teachable? Am I teachable? James 1:21 says that we're to receive the word of God with meekness. With meekness. This word meekness means teachable. We are to receive the word of God with meekness, which is able to save our souls. Your soul is what you live out of. So you're to receive it with meekness. Now it's in you, it's implanted, the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Save is to rescue, to deliver, to make whole, to make secure. When you get God's word implanted in you, it saves your soul and it gives you a sound mind. See that? Sound mind. Now you're becoming who God created you to be.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.